We are delighted to have these opportunities to share the Word of God. I admit that we are in verses that are so negative, are so unhappy, at times so depressing, we almost wish, why do we have to spend time there? Why can't we just bring message after message on from John 3:16 or from 1 John, where it talks about the love of God for us? But the fact is, we must remember the whole Bible is the Word of God, and we must listen to the whole Word of God. And woe unto us if we do not bring the whole counsel of God. And that includes these verses, too, that we're presently studying. Now, we come down to Jeremiah chapter 20. We read here in Jeremiah 20, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things." Incidentally, Jeremiah was prophesying ugly, ugly things. He was prophesying that God's wrath was on Judah, that God was going to destroy Judah by Babylon, and so he was not accepted by virtually anybody in Israel or in Judah of that day. And incidentally, remember, as we have been going on in Jeremiah repeatedly, we have seen that as God is giving this historical information of events that occurred right there, as we read about them, are actually pointing, they're a parable language, that is, they are the earthly story, the language that we can understand easily, anybody can understand, just as it is written in its earthly language, common language. But we have to find the spiritual meaning about this, and we have learned repeatedly that in the book of Jeremiah, God is focusing on the time in which we're living, this time of great tribulation, when God's wrath is on the external representation of the kingdom of God, the local congregations, even as it was in the days of Jeremiah upon Judah, which was the external representation of the kingdom of God in that day. The first thing that we learn about Pashur is that he represents those who are related to Christ, if not eternally, at least externally. They are the people of God. They are the people of God. But he was also an overseer, official overseer. Now, when we tie that into what the book of Jeremiah is reviewing here, namely, or anticipating, namely, the time when in which we're living, in what area of the world do we find spiritual or official overseers over God's people who have authority to speak or to prophesy? And that ties you right back in your local congregations where God has appointed overseers, has he not? Elders and deacons and pastors. So we find here that Pashur meets all the requirements that makes him a picture of those who are in charge of and appointed by God to rule and to teach within the local congregations. He was an overseer. He was a ruler. He was the son of the word of Immer, who was the priest. Everything fits in a very, very neat way that indeed he represented the local congregations. Now, Pashur, who hears the truth from the lips of Jeremiah representing the two witnesses, he is going to silence him. Incidentally, in John chapter 16, God declares in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service." And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. In other words, God here is instructing us. This is a biblical rule. Now that God is laying down, to be cast out is equivalent to being killed, because we're silenced. We can't speak anymore. If your voice cannot be heard there anymore, you might as well be dead because you're not able to speak. Well, now here is Jeremiah put into prison by Pashur, and he's been smote, he's been struck. While it is true that in his historical rendering, the next day he is brought out because God is continuing to develop the spiritual lesson through all of this, but nevertheless, in these first two verses, we see a picture, a portrait of Revelation chapter 11, which in turn is anticipating what we see in our day as the true believers represented by Jeremiah are silenced by being cast out from their local congregations, the leaders in the local congregations typified by Pashur, who was an official overseer and ruler in the local congregations. Well, now we go on and we find it came to pass on the morrow. Now God is going to develop another, some more information, some more spiritual information. It came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks, that is out of prison. And then we find that Jeremiah speaks very boldly. I mean, he has just been struck. He has been beaten. We don't know how badly he was beaten. That's not important. The important thing is that God is indicating the tremendous enmity, the tremendous a chasm that exists between those who are the rulers in the congregation and those who are being driven out and who are silenced. It came to pass that on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Megormsebib. Now that is the Hebrew. There are two Hebrew words that are in view here. And the first word is terror. Terror. And the second Hebrew word is all around. Terror all around. Now that particular phrase is a clue phrase. It is used in three or four other places in the Bible that are very significant. And you'll notice right here as it's talking about Pashur, your name shall be called terror all around, that God immediately identifies this with the fact that Babylon is going to destroy Judah, because notice right after that he says, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. And it goes on to say some more, and we'll look at that a little later, about how Babylon will destroy them. And that is identified with this phrase, terror all around. Pashur, your name is going to be called terror all around. If we go to Jeremiah 6, verse 25, we're going to look at three or four places where we find the same phrase, and we're going to find exactly the same words, and we're going to find that they identify each time with Babylon coming to destroy. Here we find in Jeremiah 6, verse 25, go forth, Well, let's pick up the context first of all. Look at verse 22 of Jeremiah 6. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country. A great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. That is speaking about Babylon or the kingdom of... And remember, Babylon typified what? The dominion of Satan, that God was going to give the churches over to the rule of Satan so that he, as the man of sin, would be seated in the temple. That's the language of 2 Thessalonians 2, but it ties right in with what we're reading here. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee. O daughter of Zion, daughter of Zion, again, is a figure of the local congregations. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. Go forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy, and fear on every side, or fear all around. The same two words that we find in Jeremiah. In other words, when God uses that term fear, it on every all around, or terror all around, or fear on every side. It's all the same two Hebrew words. It just translated slightly differently. We find it's in the context of Satan coming in to take charge of the congregations. The Holy Spirit has abandoned the congregations, and now Babylon is coming. We can look at Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 5. Jeremiah 46, verse 5. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down, and are fled apace, and look not back. For fear was round about, that is on every side, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. They shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. And what river, what city did the river Euphrates go through? Babylon. Again, it identifies with Babylon. Let's look at another verse. If we look at Jeremiah 49, verse 29. Jeremiah 49, verse 29. And there we see, there's only a few places in the whole Bible where this particular phrase is found, but it's always in the same context. We read in verse 28, the last part of the verse in Jeremiah 49, arise ye, go up to Kedar, and spoil the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains and all their vessels and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear on every side, or terror all around. Flee, get you far off. Dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith the Lord. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you and hath conceived a purpose against you. And Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of who? Satan as king of Babylon. And again, we see the association of this phrase with Satan, as he is typified as the king of Babylon. Two other verses we want to look at. Well, one other verse right now, and that's in Lamentations. In Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 22. Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 22. I'm offering this because this really locks us in to understand that as God is using that phrase in this context, he is also emphasizing, look, pastor, look, elders and deacons, Satan is going to rule. That's why it's going to be terror all around. There is no hope in the local congregations anymore. There is no possibility of repentance on God's side. The end has come, and God has abandoned the local congregation altogether. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 22. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 22. It's speaking about, this is a lament that is written by God, quoting with Jeremiah as the scribe. And is indicating the consequence of God's wrath on the city. Thou hast called us, and as in a solemn day, my terrors round about. Same phrase. So that in the day of the Lord's anger, none escaped nor remained. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. A dreadful statement. That those who remain in the churches are being prepared for judgment. And even though they have been brought up as God's people, my people, I have swaddled them, and I have cared for them. And we can develop this some more, but we won't right now. If we go back into Ezekiel, you know, where God talked about ancient Israel, how he found them in the wilderness, and there was no one caring for them. And then he swaddled him, and that is, swaddled that baby, that is, he cared for that baby and loved that baby, and it grew up into a beautiful young lady, and then God married that young lady, and that whole business is all developing the same idea of God's mercy on his people. But now, it's terror all around, All right, let's go back to Jeremiah 20. And so God says in verse 4 of Jeremiah 20, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. Now, why does he say that? Why is it that it is terror all around? It is because those who ought to know better, who have been appointed by God to be the prophets, the priests, the declarers of the truth of the Bible, the custodians of the Word of God, the managers of sending the gospel out into all the world, are held accountable to God. And because they have rebelled, they have set up their own kind of a gospel. They don't believe the Bible is the authority, the ultimate authority. Their church is the ultimate authority. Their church rules are what govern, not the Bible, even though they make claims and talk glibly and superficially and easily about how the Bible is inerrant, the Bible is infallible. Oh, yes, we believe the Bible. But as we've noted many, many, many times, what they mean by that, yes, the verses that we use from the Bible, and we don't use all the words of the Bible. We don't even understand most of the Bible. But the words that we use, we have decided how to understand them, and we believe they are infallible words, and that in turn makes our decrees or our understanding or our declarations about what the Bible teaches also infallible. And so it gives them a cover or an authority that is false, because unless the whole Bible is taken into account, you don't ever have the Bible as your authority. Well, and so we read, I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Now, incidentally, just in the historical setting, and we're going to get back to that when we get past verse 6. But here is Jeremiah. You talk about the task of the child of God who is being faithful to the Word of God. He's just been beaten. He's been cast into prison because of the declarations he's making that Judah, the land that is God's special land and God's special, and even the temple, is going to be destroyed by the enemy, the Babylonians. And you would think that when he came out of prison, that as he's again speaking to Pasher, he would really be careful. Look, I don't want another beating. I don't want, well, we're going to find out a little later on that he did think about that possibility. But right now, the fact is we see that he's coming out forcibly. He is plunging right back into the same message. And that's a lesson to us, that no matter how our friends or our loved ones criticize us or they don't like what we say, we never pull our shots. In other words, we pull our punches, to use a figure of speech. I've never been a boxer, but I understand that means that you don't hit quite as hard as you would like to hit. And the fact is, when we bring the gospel, we may never, never water it down. We never can try to make it sweeter or have more honey in it or more pleasant words in it than what the Bible will allow. We have to bring the whole counsel of God, even though we know we're getting into trouble. And we'll talk about a little bit more when we get to a later verse in this same chapter. Okay, now we read here in verse 5, "Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them," that is, plunder them, "and take them and carry them to Babylon." If anything, the fact that he has been beaten and imprisoned by Pasher, he is now coming out with greater energy than ever to say, "Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord," whether you like it or not, Pasher. And that's exactly what is happening in our day. As the true believers are silenced, they're driven out, we find that as we study the Bible, as we work more carefully in the Word of God, we get more and more substance, and therefore we can speak more authoritatively than ever. Look, we are at the end of the church age. Look, God has abandoned the local congregations. Look, God's judgment is on the local congregations. Whether you like it or not doesn't change the fact. Look, the fact is that Satan does rule and the Holy Spirit is absent. Look, it is a fact that no one in a local congregation is ever going to be blessed spiritually. And it has become a trap. It has become a snare for those who are going there to guarantee they're going to end up in hell unless somehow they will get out. Somehow they will get out before it is too late. And that's exactly what is happening here to Jeremiah. He's coming out speaking more forcibly after his beating. That's just the way God works in him. And as we look on a little bit further in the next few verses, we're going to see how that develops in his life. And so he says in verse 6, "And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." Now, that's a big indictment, because after all, Pasher was a prophet in the house of God. He was prophesying. He was a ruler. He was an official overseer. He had position. And yet, here comes the indictment. You have been prophesying lies. And we again can see how that identifies with God's indictment on the local congregations of our day. Well, that's as far as we're going to be able to get with this study. And our next study will pick up right there, and we're going to go on. And we got some real tough verses coming along. "Oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me," Jeremiah says, "and I was deceived." What in the world is Jeremiah talking about?